This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham in for Cynthia Canty. The co-hosts of It's Just Politics were hanging out with 1,500 Republicans this past weekend. Joining us to talk about what they learned at the Mackinac Republican Leadership Conference are Rick Pluta, Capitol Bureau Chief for the Michigan Public Radio Network, and our own political junkie here at Michigan Radio, Zoe Clark. So lots to talk about, but let's start with the out-of-state Republican visitors who were kind of testing the water for a run at president. Who showed up? What'd they have to say?
Well, Rand Paul, Bobby Jindal, John Thune, Scott Walker, those were the big ones, all there and doing their early audition for the presidential stage, if that's how things play out.
Karl Rove was also there to talk a little bit of politics, and there were also pollsters throughout the weekend. So it's basically this big unifying event. Big names come in, like you said, Lester, 1,500 Republicans. And yes, a lot of these folks were possibly candidates for 2016, the presidential race. But interesting to note, this conference began, they hold it every 2 years since 1953. In that 50-year history, though, no one who has spoken at this conference has actually gone on to become president.
I understand there's a little flap with Rand Paul and the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare.
Yeah, that's true. It's sort of interesting that congressional Republicans showed up on Saturday, fresh off that vote to link defunding Obamacare to the continuing budget resolution, basically saying defund Obamacare or we're headed toward a federal government shutdown. And they were widely applauded for that. But Rand Paul, when he was talking to reporters, and then he repeated it again, his address to the conference, said that it's probably too late for that. And what Republicans could really best hope for is making some changes to Obamacare, improving Obamacare to make it more to the liking of conservatives. And that got some people actually more in other parts of the country kind of hot and bothered. And that played out on the Sunday morning talk shows. Certainly what's going to happen next now that this is in the Senate. But Rand Paul at least said it seems to be headed toward a conference committee and negotiations, and that word, compromise.
Ahead of the Mackinac Republican Leadership Conference, there was some talk that there might be some Tea Party groups flexing their muscle. They'd have a little influence on what was happening and what was decided. Was there much evidence of that?
Well, right. I mean, and this is sort of this story that we've all been focusing on over the summer, this sort of intra-party fight between, you know, what you want to maybe call the establishment Republicans here in Michigan and then the Tea Party. And really what we've seen this play out over is the Medicaid expansion, something that Governor Snyder was for. And the Tea Party and Tea Party lawmakers are not happy with that. So there's a gentleman by the name of Wes Nakagiri. He's there. He wants to challenge Lieutenant Governor Calley to say, look, you know, we don't like the policies. We think you're too moderate, Governor and Lieutenant Governor. So he was there. He was roaming the halls. But I think we all were just sort of thinking, ooh, maybe there was going to be something, that something might come up.
Well, would there be something like when Governor Snyder, Lieutenant Governor Calley were introduced, that there were boos in the audience or something like that?
Right. But we didn't see anything of that.
Although, strangely, Wes Nakagiri did schedule an event in Mackinac City immediately prior to the conference. And that strangely, oddly developed some issues with a permit or something like that. And he was forced to cancel it. Just a coincidence, no doubt.
Yeah, there was quite a bit of fizzle in that way. There was also talk all week, actually for a couple weeks, that the one Tea Party group was actually going to announce a primary challenger, Governor Snyder, Friday morning. There was even a countdown on this website. 9 a.m. was when the announcement was going to be. Mm-hmm. Well, that fizzled also.
Wah-wah.
Wah-wah-wah.
I have to ask you, though, I mean, targeting the lieutenant governor just seems like an odd pick of all the offices you could pick. And why Brian Calley in particular? Because let's face it, he's kind of conservative.
Right. And this has way more to do with messaging than it does with actually Brian Calley. I think the Tea Party wants to show a message. They want to show we are powerful and influential. And this goes to actually how LGs are made okay to be part of the ticket. You know, usually we think of it as the executive gets to pick who his running mate, her running mate is going to be. But how it works here in Michigan is delegates, that the state delegates actually have to okay that choice. So the idea among the Tea Party is, hey, we can show how influential we are if we kick out who the governor wants and have one of our own candidates, one of our own people.
Also, the Tea Party is acknowledging a reality, a political reality, which is that they can do at a Republican convention because they've been able to get delegates there and to you know, dominate and influence those conventions. They can do at a Republican convention what they could not necessarily do in the arena of a primary or a general election, where there will be even, you know, more people involved.
And to that regard, we should also mention that Callie did spend the weekend Gladhand. He was out full force. I mean, I think he was even made to be a bigger figure to the folks that were there than Snyder. And a lot of people introduced him as the conservative voice within the administration.
I was going to say, I always thought that his first name was Brian, but apparently his given name by his parents is Conservative Voice Brian Callie.
Conservative voice of the Snyder administration, Brian Callie.
So all that glad-handing, there was a straw poll. How'd Callie do? And how many of these Republicans at the Mackinac meeting will actually be nominating the candidates at the summer convention?
Well, I guess the last first, that these are exactly the kind of people who become convention delegates, that they're actually motivated enough to go and, you know, pay the freight and buy a ferry ticket and rent a hotel room on Mackinac Island, which isn't exactly cheap, and to go and to be informed and inspired. So these are the people who, you know, not only get out, but get out early. It's a very committed group of people. About one third of them actually voted in the straw poll. And, you know, what we saw was 85-86% of the people who voted voted for Brian Callie to be lieutenant governor, which, you know, I mean, overall probably bodes pretty well for his prospects to remain on the ticket.
Governor Rick Snyder is still being a little coy about whether he'll run for re-election, although there seems to be little doubt that he'll run. Democrat Mark Schauer is out there raising money and campaigning. Why is the governor not an announced candidate yet?
That does seem to be the question, and it was the question on a lot of minds. In fact, Rick and I both asked the governor that very same question when we sat down with him. His line is that it'd be premature, that it would shift the focus, that there is still a fall legislative agenda, and that the second that he jumps in and says it's official, then suddenly that's what the focus will be on rather than actual policy issues.
And there is a lot of truth to that, that it may seem like a kabuki dance, but the fact of the matter is that when you've got the job of governing, that you do have to accomplish it. And officially declaring yourself a candidate, formally declaring that the campaign has started, just completely changes that. I mean, that said, there's no doubt that he's running again, that there is a campaign video that says that Rick Snyder and Brian Callie deserve four more years of doing the job. He invited people to sign nominating petitions that would put him on the August Republican primary ballot. So, I mean, if someone really wanted to push back and make the case that he's a candidate, there wouldn't be an effective or rational rebuttal.
So you were telling me that Greg McNeely with the Michigan Freedom Fund, which backed passing the right to work law in Michigan, is now calling for legislation that would repeal requirements that lawyers join the State Bar Association. He's describing it as sort of a right to work bill for lawyers.
Yeah, okay. Remember earlier I said the whole Tea Party insurgency fizzled? This was the bang. This was what none of us were expecting. There was a panel discussion about right to work, freedom to work, as many of the Republican attendees call it. And it was the bang that came out of the conference, surprising many.
And we should say that this did not happen in a vacuum. You will be shocked to learn that there's maybe some politics behind this too. A few days ago, the State Bar of Michigan sent a letter to the Secretary of State's office asking for a reversal of an elections rule that allows independent committees that do some types of campaign spending to keep their donors secret. They call it dark dark money. So now the state bar is going in on record and pushing to try and make these groups reveal the source of their money. And one of those groups that would be effective is an independent committee that's run by the State Chamber of Commerce, which, as you probably have surmised, is very much associated with the Michigan Republican Party. And so kind of as a response to that, it was, well, fine, state bar, you want to start delving into political questions? We'll just throw a little right to work your way, too.
And final question. So what do 1,500 Republicans do for fun on Mackinac Island when they're not listening to speeches and designing political strategy?
Well, there is a rule about conventions on Mackinac Island, Lester, and that's what happens on Mackinac stays on Mackinac.
Probably a good idea when there are a bunch of reporters up there. So that's Rick Pluta. He's Capitol Bureau Chief for the Michigan Public Radio Network and our own political junkie at Michigan Radio, Zoe Clark. Thanks, guys.
Oh, you bet.